You are listening to the Mick and Mac GAA Football Podcast.
Hello and welcome back to the Mick and Mac GAA Football Podcast. Mick here, and I hope you're all doing well and haven't lost a run of yourselves just yet since the lockdown restrictions have begun to ease. I feel like someone beside me here. Ross, how are you doing?
I'm great, Mick. hanging me out to dry, eh?
Yeah. I had to do it.
A few social ones.
So we'll just say what we're doing today. We're going for something a little bit different today. I know we've done a lot of interviews lately, so a bit of a new feature we're going to do is picking our best starting 15 from 2000 to 2020 in each province. So I'm going to call this the Martin Breheny special. This man loves a good top team thing, so we're going to follow his suit here. And we're beginning with Leinster today, and we're delighted to be joined by Joe Sheridan. Joe, thanks for coming on to help us out doing this.
About how's things, lads?
All good. So, was this tough? We were talking off air. Did you find it tough to do it?
Yeah. And when you mention Martin Breheny, when you see what he's picked, it can't really go wrong, whatever you
pick. Poor Martin getting off the stick. So, I suppose, Joe, before we get started, I mean, obviously, Lent, you played for Meath for a good few years. Tell us about some of your favourite memories of the last few years playing for Meath in the Leinster Championship. I know. You always get asked about one in particular, but other than that, maybe for the moment, what are some of your best memories playing for Meath and Leinster?
Yeah, I was only just chatting to a fella there the other day. We were looking back at probably back 2008. You know, you'd be playing probably Dublin in the first round Leinster championship game. There could be 75,000 people at it. Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing how the time has changed. Obviously, with Dublin being so dominant over the last sort of nearly 10, 15 years, well, 10 years since we last won it. But literally, even before that, they won, I think, 3 or 4 in a row, I think, as well. So they have dominated Leinster. So it's just a problem over the last couple of years has been the competitiveness of it. You know, I don't know what their average is of winning the Leinster final over the last 10 years has been, but I'd say it's not far off for 15, 20 points. So it's not good for Leinster football. And look, we'd obviously like to get back, Meath especially, to try and compete at that level. But it's we always enjoyed it. You know, it was always great playing against Dublin, especially. The crowd was there. It was usually a sunny day, middle of June, July, Leinster final as well. So, as a Meath player, you like to compete. We probably should have, you know, maybe beating Dublin a couple of other times. There was chances there that we had that we probably didn't take, and it was there for us to win. But I suppose looking back at it now, you know, there's a lot of friendships created through even playing on the Leinster team over the years. I was lucky enough, we got a couple of trips. We got one to Boston, and you know, you create a good bond with some of the lads when you go away with them, and it's amazing when you do chat with lads from other counties, and you know, most lads have a lot of things in common, and you said create a good relationship and friendship over the years as well.
Yeah, and you obviously mentioned the Dublin there. I remember it was obviously 2010 Leinster semi-final. I think I read it was 65,000 there, obviously. And yeah, you scored 4 goals into the hill. That must be one of your favourite memories as a Meath man.
Yeah, and it's the only time you beat them in championship, which is it was sort of a bittersweet moment. But yeah, look, anytime you can give Dublin a good hiding, it doesn't happen too often, but we'll take it. But yeah, no, that was a great day. So 11 sort of clicked for us that day. Stephen Bray set the ball rolling with a goal in the first half, which was unstoppable. And yeah, you know, we were playing good football at that time, from probably over a couple of years before that as well. So we had a good team together. We had a very strong set of forwards as well. So we enjoyed it, and you know, obviously went on to win Leinster that year. But it was probably our best time them couple of years, probably from 07 when we got to the semi final, the All Ireland semi final against Cork, and then even through to 11. Like, we only lost by, I think, 2 points in the Leinster final to Dublin. They went on to win the All Ireland, you know, and it's amazing how we've gone from one extreme to another. Dublin went on and done what they've done, and we've probably come back quite substantially since then.
It's funny you mentioned those years, because even with your club, like, the two senior titles with Central Town in 07 and 09, on a personal level, you were absolutely flying. Like, you must have been delighted with your form. You seem to be injury free as well, most of it.
Yeah, look, I've been very lucky now. I never had a serious injury. I done my medial ligament back in 08. Beginning of 07, I think it was actually. Yeah. And I was out for 4 weeks, but that was the only time I was out. I think I missed one knee game. And other than that, I was lucky enough never to miss a game due to injury, you know. So I was very lucky. And when I come back to the club, we had a great run from, we won the championship in 07 and 09. And we were just literally looked at, we played in 2010 in the senior final as well. We scored 4-8 and lost the game. And it was, I'd never seen it. I just couldn't bring myself to watch it. And I watched it there just at the weekend again. And I just, it pained me to watch it. Last kick of the ball at 45. So, yeah, it was, that was nearly the, I would have preferred nearly lose one of the other two than lose that one the way the game went. But it was, we probably should have won three now, to be fair, in the 4 years. And it would have been even sweeter. But, yeah, it's great to win a club championship. It's Ballybone. You boys don't know Ballybone after winning the couple as well. You know, it is great winning with the boys and sort of the lads you've grown up with and played football with over the years. And we've only had our 10-year reunion of the 07 and 09 final last year and stuff. So it's great. We might not have had a pint with some of the lads since that, or even some lads might not have watched the game and look back on the games. And it's nice to have that sort of memories and you create that friendship for as long as you're alive, I think, and you'll always be meeting up with different sort of reunions and meeting up for a few pints, which is great. So
that's brilliant. So did you always want to play in goal or
never? Whatever got me on the pitch, that was the only thing. I remember it all started off with a junior C game that no player, my brother was going out and the manager picked him up and he says, have you anyone else in that house so you can play it? She started that, studying goals for that, and senior then after that, and I was in goal for maybe 18 months, and then I ended up outfield, but that's where it all started, and I thought that actually not.
Like all great careers, started as junior football.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
So what about the future of Leinster football? I suppose you were just touching on it there, Dublin's dominance becoming kind of, they're completely dominant now. Is there a future for the provinces, or is it more or less, you know, past sell by date at this time?
No, I do still rate them, and I still think there is a role for them in the championship. I know with Dublin being so dominant, it does have, you say, look, is it competitive? Is it good for teams in it? Is it good for the weaker teams? But I was just looking at the role of Honour and Leinster, like Wicklow. I think they got to, the role of honour was beating finalists in 1984 or 1884 or something random like that. You know, so it's not as if them club teams have ever been competing, but they're still in the championship, you know, so it gives them, you know, just that, I suppose, chance to maybe win one game, you know, and I suppose success for certain teams is based on different levels. Now, success for Dublin is winning All Ireland. Success for likes of a Wicklow, you know, no disrespect to them, but because of the pick and the players that they would have, you're looking at probably winning maybe one or two games in the season, which, and that's great, and that would bring them on. And next thing, you'll try and get a team where you might have a very good team in the so-called weaker county for 2 years, and you could have a chance to get into a Leinster final or into an All Ireland semi-final, and that has happened as well. You know, you look at the likes of Laois. A couple of years ago, they went well with the strong team that they had. Westmeath as well, when they won the champ, or the, I think, they beat us actually in the semi-final a couple of years ago, and then Dublin went on to beat them quite heavily. But they will always create good players, and it will be sort of rolling on. It could come in a cycle of maybe 15 or 20 years, but it will come, you know. And it's up to the likes of, possibly the likes of ourselves and Clare, Laois as well. You know, Wexford will come with a strong team every now and again. Push Dublin in Leinster and be competitive. And I don't think we're that far off. I know we've been quite substantially over the last couple of years, but we have a very good structure in place from our 20s, with a lot of young lads and strong young lads coming through. And even if you're looking at our results from sort of 17s, minors, 20s. They should beat us quite well, but that was just a freak result from what I had seen. I was involved with the 20s this year. But we have a lot of strong players coming through. And you know, not that today we'll beat Dublin, but we will be very competitive over the next couple of years with them.
How far would you say Mead are from, you know, Leinster titles competing? I know you're saying you're involved somewhere. I hope those lads get through and they can be the backbone of the team, I suppose, for the next 10 years.
Yeah, I'd say within the next 3 years.
Yeah.
Like I think in our underage structure in general, we were probably about 10 or 12 years behind Dublin. Took us a while to get going on it, but they have put that in place, and that was in place probably 7 years ago. Probably a wee bit less, maybe 6 years ago. But now you can see the fruition coming in our underage structure and the lads coming on to the senior squad. So if we keep them, you know, we have lost a couple of top class players to, you know, other sports as well. So it's trying to keep that and try and make it actually quite attractive to play for Meath. And that's why Dublin keep their players, because they're guaranteed to be in an All-Ireland final every year. So it makes it a lot easier for the players to stay around and be successful. And that's why for the smaller counties that aren't winning Leinsters or Munsters or, you know, or provincial championships or competing in the All-Ireland, it's hard to keep players when they don't see any light at the end of the tunnel as well.
Yeah. And I mean, I even see, you know, Kildare won the under-20s All-Ireland, was it 2 years ago, and there hasn't been a lot of those lads actually moving into the senior panel. Do you think that's obviously one of the issues? The attraction of senior football at the moment probably isn't that high with how dominant Dublin have been.
Yeah, when you look at Kildare, like, there's some fantastic... I was talking to someone about the quality that Kildare would have in the forward line. And, you know, the type of players from midfield up, especially, like, they're incredibly strong. You know, skillful footballers, all probably up about 6'3", 6'4". And they've probably been in and out. So, 1 year, Kildare have probably been missing maybe Brophy or Feely, or, you know, the Flynns, you know. And so, I think everyone is back now for Kildare. So, I think they can be quite strong, and with Jack O'Connor, I think he'll add that extra 10 or 15% that they probably would need to be competing against Dublin. And, you know, I think if they can get all their players fit and healthy, you know, Kildare would have a great chance as well, because the type of footballers that they have, they're strong, physical, to compete against Dublin, and you need that, plus they can play football as well.
Yeah. You have me excited for the future now. Right, Joe, we'll crack on there. Let's hear your Leinster 15.
Yeah, it might cause a few issues now, but
that's what we want.
I'm gonna go with it anyway and stick with my gut. In goals, obviously probably the greatest keeper that's played the game is Stephen Cluxton of Dublin.
Yeah. No arguments here.
Yeah, cornerback of another dub, Johnny Cooper. I think he's got, is he 7 All-Irelands or he could have 6?
I think he's 6.
Yeah. I was sort of caught with this one at fullback. I've tried to pick the team on their positions rather than just players that played everywhere and stuff like that. And looking at sort of the timeline and trying to fit them in from 2000 to 2020, obviously. So I put Darren Fay in at fullback.
Yeah.
I know he won All-Irelands at 96, 99, but he didn't retire until he was 2005. He played in the All-Ireland final against Galway in 2001. I'll be that saying he's probably the only roast he actually got against Paul Joyce that day. But he was the best fullback in the last 40 years, to be honest. So I would put him in there, not just because he's a media man, but, and then in the other corner, another media man is Don Keoghan.
Yeah.
I think he's the best man marker in the country. I'm not just saying that because he's a mean man. I think if he was with any other county at the minute, he'd probably have 3 All-Stars, to be honest. If he was competing and Mead was successful, he'd definitely have 3 All-Stars. And he was very unlucky not to get one last year. You know, and we were in, I know we got to the Super 8s, but we didn't win the game in the Super 8s. So that would be my full back line. Then the half-back line, another dub, Jack McCaffrey, 2-time player of the year. And what is he, still only 27 or 8?
He's 26, unfortunately. 26.
26.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking next year he's going to miss this year, so it's... he'll be a big loss to Dublin, obviously, this year. It depends how, like, he might get back, but as far as I know from the statement he made, he's going to be missing, which would be a big loss for Dublin. But he seems to have his head fairly screwed on, and he seems to know where he's going as well. So I'd have McCaffrey 5, another dub, James McCarthy at 6. Yeah. Just, he does everything. I know he's played midfield for the last year or two, but I don't think it's his natural position. I think 5 or 6 is his best position. He's just so good, consistently so good the whole time. He'll go up and get a couple of points for you as well. And yeah, he's unbreakable. I think he's been injured one game, I think, something like that. And every other game just cruises to the game, powers on. And yeah, I can't really say enough about James McCarthy. The other wing, I was obviously looking, and I could have literally put in the whole half-back line of Dublin with Keane O'Sullivan, but I think Keane played that sort of Roman role, done extremely well, and there's only a certain type of player that can do that. But I went with a player that probably, like, Emma Bolton from Kildare. yeah, no bother. I played with him with Leinster. I seen him, he was probably at his peak when he was playing against ourselves at that time, and he was incredible fitness wise. He was probably the fittest player in Leinster at the time, up and down. He got nominated for numerous All-Stars, and I think just the way he carried that team, for wing back to have the impact he had on the team, you know, I think he would be up there as well. So going to midfield, Brian Fenton, man, that just doesn't lose any football games. Can't really knock that. he could end up without having a serious amount of medals in his back pocket when he retires, and he's still only, what, is he 25?
There's a host of them born in 1993 himself, Kieran Kenny, Jack McCaffrey, so they're all only that age, which is scary, to be honest.
Right, yeah. Not really too good for the rest of us now. Yeah, like, to be fair, Fenton is, they mention him in the same words as and same sentences as Jack O'Shea, you know. I don't think he's there yet. But, you know, if you're mentioning them circles at all, you're doing pretty well. So, the next one was tough enough. Like, there's probably 6 lads I could have picked between, like, to Brandon Murphy from Carlow, John Heston from Westmead, Dermot Early there, Kieran Whelan, obviously, as well. But I went with Paddy Keenan just for what he can do. You know, he literally can do left foot, right foot. He's the same type of footballer as Brian Fenton. He can catch ball in the middle of the pitch with any midfielder. I played with him as well. And his engine, he was just incredible. And I suppose at that time, when he was playing extremely well, he was probably very close to being the best player in the country and playing with Loud. No disrespect to Loud, but they were probably a bottom 3 level team at the time. And he brought them up to sort of bottom of the top tier, which is saying a lot for. And it was mainly because of Paddy Keenan. So I'd have stick Paddy Keenan there at number 9. Just moving to forwards then. 10 would be Paul Flynn. This could be causing controversy for the Dubs that we don't have enough of them in this forward line, but enough at this stage. Paul Flynn, 4 All-Stars, literally missed the consistent with Dublin for I don't know how many years. I don't know, he probably averaged maybe 3 or 4 points every game from wing forward, doing the work he used to get through throughout the whole game. I couldn't really not put him in there, to be fair. Centre forward, it was the same sort of a thing. It's another Mead man, but he was the best footballer going into the 2000s. He was voted player of the year in 99, and then he got it in 96, which is Trevor Giles. Coming into 2000, he was voted as the best player in the country. So he did retire in 2005, but he got an All-Star as well, I think 2001 from that year, and he's just pure class as a footballer, and he'd probably be up there as in the top 20 footballers of all time as well. So I'd say Trevor at centre forward. Next one, I would say It was a few lads here, obviously we had a lot of dubs. But I went with Johnny Doyle.
Yeah.
Of Kildare. He's the top scorer in Leinster ever. He literally it was between himself and he was there with Emmett Bolton, but he was literally up and down, could do anything, you know, he was a slight frame, but he could kick off both feet. I still remember a point he scored in the interprovincial final over in Boston. I'll never forget it. And he was literally just running down the sideline. He had James Nallan from Mayo coming after him. And he was at the 45 on his bad side. James Nallan came for a big block. We were only point up at this stage. And Nallan jumped. Johnny just dummy soloed on the right and swung over his left from like 45 yards out. And it was incredible. And he'd done that pretty much every day. He played and he was very consistent. 110 would be an average score probably for Johnny Doyle in the Leinster Championship. And you know, when Kildare were going well, he was their main man. So I would say Johnny Doyle at number 12 then. Then the full forward line. I had to keep myself out of it, obviously.
How humble of you.
I went with Bernard Brogan.
Yeah.
First corner forward. 7 All Irelands, what he done and his impact he had on the team was pretty incredible. He was ever present, and it was literally only in the last couple of years that he wasn't starting in the squad. He was a free taker. He was very consistent. Goals galore. I don't know what his record for goal scores in the championship was, but I'd say it was pretty high, and he's probably close to being the top scorer of the championship as well. So he sort of self-explanatory with Bernard Brogan in there. Full forward, it was a bit. I was trying to see and have a look, but I put Alan Brogan in there, and I probably could have put him in the half forward line, but he did play in the full forward line as well. You know, he was probably centre forward as well, but it was like I would have had him in at full forward as well. You know, he was battling through from the early 2000s, played all the way through, very rarely injured. Skill level was he was probably a better footballer than Bernard. You know, naturally off both feet more. You know, could see that pass, could sort of link play and score as well. And then obviously that point he kicked in the All Ireland final when he came on was, you know, it just shows his natural ability and what he could do. So he'll go down as one of the greats of Dublin football. So I put Alan Brogan there as 14, and then just to finish off, I put Matty Ford in at corner forward. He just literally dragged Wexford through for the last 20 years. He got Player of the Year in 2004. And I think they only got to the third round of qualifiers. They didn't even get to a semi-final or end like that, and he still got Player of the Year. So that just showed how good he was. Every game he played, I remember we played them down in Dr. Cullen Park, and I think we were 7 or 8 points up, and Matty just literally turned it on. Big points from every angle, sideline, corner flag, 50, 60 yards out. And that's what he'd done. He was saying it was pretty much like Johnny Doyle was. His skill level was incredible. And I know I was probably looking at some of the Dublin forwards and like what they've done. I'm leaving lads with 6 or 7 All Irelands out here, but as a footballer and a natural ability, that's what I sort of went on. So I finished up with Matty Ford as number 15 then.
That's a tasty. You love the 6 forwards as well. Who are the ones, I suppose, looking at that team that you're close to putting in?
Yeah, I done the 5 subs as well. I done John Heston from Westmeath. Just incredible footballer, and he's still going, and he'll probably keep going for another year. He's still on. I think he's probably 32 or 33 maybe max. And like same thing, if he was with another team, he could have a number of All-Stars, and he could have a couple of All-Irelands at this stage, because he can play anywhere. He can play from 6 all the way through midfield up to full forward.
broke Meath hearts a few years ago as well, the Leinster Championship.
He did. First time Westmeath ever beat us in the Championship. So it wasn't a good day for us. Kieran Whelan, obviously, probably unlucky not to win All Ireland. He's the only dub sort of that was in between there that didn't win one with Paddy Christie and a few of them lads. And, you know, he was a top class midfielder as well. And, then obviously Kieran Kilkenny. A lot of people would say I'm mad from leaving him out of the starting 15. He is a very good footballer, but I think he's the fittest footballer that makes him even better, if that makes sense, because he literally gets on so much ball, the possessions. Natural footballer, like, I just would think Johnny Doyle is a better natural footballer than Kieran Kilkenny, whereas Kieran Kilkenny would run him into the ground, but he could sit, and that's why he gets so much space. And that's, I'm not knocking him, but I'm just saying that was my sort of thinking around that. And then obviously Jim McConnelly, you know, some people say he's the best footballer to ever raise the pitch. He might be, but I'm looking at the whole basis of a footballer. You know, probably in and out of games, he'd missed games, discipline, different things like that. Yeah, I'm not doubting that his skill level at both feet is incredible, but I just think a couple of things there just knocked him back on what I would see as on the team I put in there would be as an all-round footballer as well. So, then I just, a couple of mentions, Niamh McNamee, Ross Munley, Tom Kelly from Laois. Who else did I have here? Mickey Quinn from Longford. You know, and then Graham was sort of just finishing. He didn't retire till he was like, I think, 41 or 40 or something like that. But he had to take his best years. He started when he was in 92, played all the way to 2007 or 8, you know. So, yeah. So I just sort of give Graham a little mention as well. So, yeah, that's pretty much where I ended up. There'd be a lot of dubs not happy, but can't keep them happy to hold him.
You're not apologising for that anyway.
Definitely not.
Right, a resident Dove Ross, hit us.
Right, well, there's a lot of similarities there, to be honest. I tried to, because I am a dub, try to keep a lot of dubs out, but I failed, I'm not going to lie. So I'll run through the team and I'll run through the also-rans as well. In goal, Stephen Cluxton. You're not going to get too much debate up and down the country for that. Absolute game changer, as far as I'm concerned. He's changed the way football is played. I can't think of... You probably go back to the 70s, maybe, when the Bomber Liston was introduced on the scene. Different between such a radical change of tactics. Like, Stephen Cluxton has just... He's completely changed it. And even his mindset. I've heard him say before that Dublin... They stopped referring to it as kickouts. It was possession restarts, and that was all him. That was very much, you know, we have the ball, let's keep it. Let's not just lump it long and hope for the best and win the break. It was just, he changed the whole attitude around, as he says himself, possession restarts. But phenomenal. Like, it's one thing to be able to say it, but the practice and everything that he puts in and the time he puts in, and anytime you speak to any Dublin players, they're the first person he name check and say, look, this guy is the standard bearer. It was probably a shock maybe when he got captaincy back in 2013, but it's obviously the way he goes about things. You know, he's obviously not one for being in the media very often, but like, what a professional by all accounts. So Cluxton for me. My full back line, I went for the same as Joe in one corner. I went for Johnny Cooper. I just think he's very versatile. He says himself, he plays on the edge, and he's a bit of a dog in him, which I love as a cornerback. And he can mix it anyway. If he can play it from the front, he can play it from the back. He can, and he's teak tough. So, Johnny Cooper for me. Similar to yourself, Joe, I had a huge debate over fullback, and I like, it's one position here where I'd be open to debate on. I went with Rory O'Carroll. He's 3 All-Irelands, 11, 13 and 15, and then obviously he left the panel. For me, Darren Fay was an unbelievable fullback, but just for me, he just was more 90s, I'd say. And that's the only reason I left him out. He obviously did span both, but as you said, like his probably his best years were in the 90s, and he was phenomenal. I also thought of like the likes of Paddy Christie was there. One lad who made my bench, or two defenders made my bench, were one in particular, Joe Higgins from Laois. He was close to being in there as well. So there was a few, but I settled with Rory O'Carroll, but open to debate on that one. Cornerback, the other corner, Michael Fitzsimons, has 7 All-Irelands, started as a young fella, I think he was 21 maybe, in the 2011 final, and it's just, I actually hadn't met him till a couple of years ago. He's actually very, very big. He's bigger than you probably looks on TV. He must be 6'3", and he is lightning fast. He generally gets tasked with the marquee forwards from opposition teams, and generally does very well. And you ask players about, you know, stickiest cornerback, and he regularly gets name checked. So I went for Mick Fitz there, but yet again, Joe Higgins was sort of close enough to, but I went with Mick. I'd love to have him on my team if I was a manager. Half back line, two spots are same as yourself, Joe. Jack McCaffrey. He did me a solid because I backed him for Football of the Year in 2015. So I owe him a point. But he's a phenomenal footballer. And similar to your criteria, Joe, it's the all-round, like what he brings, his enthusiasm. He's a great guy as well, like off the pitch. Like you said, very level-headed, has his head screwed on. And not afraid to show his emotion, like we all saw the famous team banquet where he's singing and dancing on the Sunday game, messing around in the background when others be sort of more media savvy, let's say. But I think he's a generational player. He'd be a huge loss to any team. And even I think this Dublin team won't be able to replace him because he's phenomenal. He's one man, I think two, maybe three man of the matches in All-Ireland finals, turns up for big games the whole time. And like that, the first game against Kerry last year, 1-3 from wing back. Like, you know, who scores 1-3 from wing back in an All Ireland final? Phenomenal player, great attitude. Will be a loss, but we keep the fingers crossed. He went away traveling 1 year and he came back, so we hope he comes back again. On the other wing, I went. You had James McCarthy at centre back. I put him on the wing. Like you said, he's so versatile, plays midfield, plays half-back. He's a Rolls-Royce of a footballer as far as I'm concerned. And like that, he can mix it anyway. He can play all the football you want. He had a super final, I think it was 2018. 2017 or 2018. And was kicking some lovely scores near the end. Absolute engine, like goes box to box the whole time. And is an animal as far as I'm concerned. He's just so tough. I'd hate to have to mark him because he just gives you nothing, gives you absolutely nothing. So I would have, similar to yourself, I would have James McCarthy there. My centre-back, you mentioned him. I went for Kian O'Sullivan. Kian has played three positions. He started in the corner in 2011. He was moved out to midfield then not long afterwards to partner Michael Darmacaulay. And then he settled in centre-back. And it was the 2013 semi-final against Kerry. Jerry Brennan started off on Colin Cooper, and Colin Cooper, well, no one could have marked Colin Cooper in that first half. He just lit it up. And then second half, Keane was put on him, and he's very much stifled his influence, I felt, in the second half. And from then, he's been a mainstay for Dublin. I just think he brings an awful lot of assurance back there. He doesn't tend to wander as far as what he maybe used to, particularly when he was midfield. He very much holds the sort of 45 and behind. I think he's a super player. People I consider for that position as well. Kyogam was definitely in the running. And Tom Kelly actually was another one from Laois, who I considered. Thought Tom was an absolute super player for an awful long time. International rules, the whole lot, super player. And another one who I have on my bench, not to give it away, is John Keane from Westmeath. Two All-Stars. Yeah. Absolute. He's a super defender. Like, he's the almost definition of a defender. He's sticky, tight, can play ball as well. But I actually found it hard to leave John Keane out. I think he's a brilliant footballer. But I just went with Keane on that one. Midfield, Brian Fenton, similar to yourself. Doesn't seem to lose too many games. Seems to be able to do it all. Kicks points off both feet. Huge engine. It tends to be a marked man nowadays. Easier said than done. Like yourself, I think Jack O'Shea just shades him at the moment. Who knows, 5, 6, 7 years, that might change. But he's, when you're having the conversation of comparing him to Jack O'Shea, even the fact he's doing that, you know, it says it all, really, when you're comparing him, as far as I'm concerned, the best. Now, the other midfielder, I had a bit of a dilemma with.
Which don't you put in?
Pretty much. I went, well, I'll tell you what. It was between Kieran Whelan, it was between Dermot Early, Paddy Keenan, who came a close second, very close second, because I've seen Paddy Keenan play for both club and county. Just brilliant. Even in latter years, we actually played them in the club championship in 2015, rather than 2016. And even he was a few miles off, but he was still excellent. Really, really good. But I went for Michael Darren McCauley. Definitely more unorthodox than a lot of midfielders. Footballer of the Year in 2013. Can't really ignore it, given the talent that was floating around at the time. You still had like all the Kerry team. So I went for Mick just. As I said, Paddy Keane and Kieran Whelan. Like even Shane Ryan picked up an All-Star in 2008, but wasn't really part of that conversation when it came to the rest of the lads. So I went with Mick, but just, if you like. Half-forward line, similar to yourself, Paul Flynn. Brilliant. 4 All-Stars in a row. Mr. Consistent. When Dublin changed that defensive, more defensive system after the famous start of Leary in 2009, he became an integral part of that team where he was just, well, I suppose maybe even started at Brian Duher, and he just sort of, for me, sort of brought it on again, particularly in Leinster. So I went with Paul Flynn. I went then with Alan Brogan, centre half forward, one of the best. I think you summed them up perfectly, to be honest, Joe. I don't really need to say too much more. So I went with Alan, centre half forward. Left half forward. Now I went with Dermot Connolly. Oh, I know you have him on the bench.
Duck.
Yeah, I know. I just think, like, look, he's had stuff that's disciplinaries and various things off the field and trips to Boston and this and the other. But as a footballer, like, I was a big fan of Giles back in the day as well. I'm not going as far as to say I cut off my sleeves or anything like that, but super footballer, footballer year 96, 99. As far as I know, the only player to ever win it twice. But yet again, similar to Darren Fay, his best years, I feel, were in the 90s. I just went with Dermot, just from ability. Just even seeing him up close for club or county, he's impossible to mark. He's just impossible to mark. And like that, he can mix it. He doesn't look like one of the fastest players in the team, but when he goes up through the gears, he is lightning. And just being able to do what he does on both feet, and it's just completely natural. Like, there's no effort put into it. It just looks like he has an extra second than everyone else. Like that point he got against Mayo in the final, where the ref blew for a foul, but play on, 4 Mayo lads hanging out of him, and he's actually looking at the ref, and then at the other hand he's dropping the ball to kick it over the bar, and you're like, how is that possible? Like, it's incredible. But I went with Dermot. Full forward line, it's not all Dubs lads, you'd be delighted to know, but there is one in there. It's Bernard Brogan. Like you said, he took him a couple of years to get bedded into the team. But when he did, what an impact he made. He got Footballer of the Year in 2010, when Dublin didn't even get to a final. You know, that says an awful lot about him. Put up huge scores, very important scores. Man of the match, a couple of All-Irelands, the Mayo, I think, got 2-3 in one final. So Bernard Brogan is my number 14. Either side of him, I went for same as yourself, Matty Ford. I think Matty Ford on his day is unplayable. Just unplayable. Another big fella as well. You can play it into him any way you want. You can play him the high ball. You can play it in low. He'll go out in front, and he is just brilliant. Deceptively probably quick as well, but just on his day, just I don't think, like I mentioned, plenty of good halfbacks and cornerbacks there. I don't think anyone laid love on him when Matty's flying. I think he's phenomenal. And he, to be honest...
Yeah, he was like 6 of 5.
Yeah. And to be honest, he was one of the first shoe-ins of my team. I was like, Matty, like as soon as Mick said to me, I was like, well, Matty Ford's going on the team. You know, there wasn't even a debate. Like, he was in there. That's it, like. And the other corner, I went for Johnny Doyle. Look, you said it all. Even the example you gave there of, you know, Nalan hanging out of him and he's still swinging it over on his bad foot. Even like played in midfield, was adaptable. He'll probably be the first to admit he probably wasn't an animal in the gym, but just natural ability and work rate and fitness, and he just had it all. As you said, top scorer in Leinster. I don't think there's much debate really around Johnny Doyle. I think he's a super footballer, great ambassador for Kildare football as well. So that is my starting 15. My bench then, I mentioned a couple of lads already, Joe Higgins and John Keane at the back. Then I went for my mid, so I basically my split was I picked two backs, I picked a midfielder, and then I picked two forwards on my bench. I went for Kieran Whelan. Like I said, he was one of the unlucky ones. He came onto the panel in 96, the year after they won it, and left in 2010 when, you know, it was just very unlucky. But he was inspirational at the time, so I went for Kieran Whelan there. Desi Dolan, I went for Westmeath. Great servant, great footballer. Won't be forgotten anytime soon, particularly after 2004. Good guy. Was even playing... playing club up to last year, only retired last year playing club. So, you know, Desi gets in there for me. And the other one that gets in for me is Paul Mannion. Paul Mannion is, would you believe, he has 3 All-Stars in a row and is going for number 4 this year. He even went away to China for a year, came back, and I still think there's plenty ahead of him. And in years to come, he could make this team. But Paul Mannion makes it for me. There's a lot of players, the also-rans, if you like. Kieran Kilkenny doesn't make it for me. I know that'll ruffle up a few feathers, all right, but just outside, I just don't know where I could have fit him in, given the players that I've named. Niall McNamee for Offaly. Conor Callaghan, considered as well, but I said Conor's plenty of years ahead of him, so I didn't put him in there. Anthony Rainbow. And Emma Bolton, Anthony Rainbow. I think I read a story recently that he broke the bleep test when he did it. Super fit guy, similar to Emma Bolton, super footballer. So Anthony Rainbow was there close to me, and that's pretty much it. So my split is 13 Dubs, one Wexford man, and one Kildare man, but. We'll see what you come up with, Mick, and then we can debate.
I have to say, Ross, I'm very impressed with your neutrality there, in fairness to you. I'm actually just interested, though, looking at those two teams. I'm not going to go through my team because basically we're repeating a lot of the same lads, but I'm going to just a few pointers here. Fullback definitely seems to be the position that's up for debate the most. Joe, tell us about Darren Fay a little bit more then. So how good is Darren Fay as a fullback?
Oh, he knew how to play the position. He knew he was a full-back. He didn't think he was a centre-back or a midfielder. He'd done his job, but literally give the ball off and go. Like I marked him that many times, and you thought you'd have the ball in the hands. And he'd just come round with a fist, and the ball would be gone. Very rarely fouled. And for a big man, like he was 6 foot, he was probably about 6'2" as well. Incredible speed over like 10 or 15 yards as well. Strength-wise, like, I actually came into the squad, and the masseuse were actually rubbing my legs, and they were like, Joe, you're the only person who's ever had bigger legs than Darren Fay. I was like, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but it's just a block of a man. Never really said much the year he was captain, literally. he'd say three or four words before we were went out onto the pitch, and just done his talking on the pitch, to be fair. And yeah, like he was just, he played the game so well in the right way, and like he came on to the squad in 96, I think 18 or 19 at fullback, never left fullback, and was never present in the team all the way till he retired in, I think, 05 or when Sean left them. Oh, actually, no, he was there with Colin Coyle, which would have been, he come back, he come out of retirement, and played for 2 years when Colin Coyle come back. So that would have been 07, 08. Yeah, so he would have retired in 2008.
Yeah. I mean, the fullbacks since then, there hasn't been many fullbacks really that have stood out over the years. On my bench, the word shouting about, I had biased as well, but Mick Foley from Kildare, from Mathai, won an All-Star in 2011.
9 or 10, yeah.
Those years. But he was kind of, you're talking with Darren Fader, he was kind of the All-Star kind of fullback, you know. The role might have changed a bit now, but he was kind of very, as I said, played it the right way, could get out in front, knew he was a fullback, never really ventured forward too much. Ross, give us the Rory O'Carroll case.
Fullback was a huge issue for Dublin for years. We tried numerous, since Paddy Christie, we had Ross McConnell in there, we had Dennis Bastic in there, we had Davy Henry in there, we had a load of lads in there. When Rory O'Carroll came along, he solved a lot of those problems for us, to be honest. He was marking Michael Murphy, like all the big players, was well able for him. Was actually quite a lot similar to Darren Fay, actually was quick enough over the first 10-15 yards, was all action, but he always seemed to get the Donaghy's, the Michael Murphy, and this is Donaghy when he was still flying it, you know. I'm sure you probably had to pick him up once or twice, Joe.
Yeah, I would have marked him a couple of times.
So you've got a better lens on this than I do, because you've marked both Darren Fay and Rory O'Carroll. So I have to probably bow to your knowledge on that one, having marked the both of them. But as I said, the only reason Darren's on him for me is because I feel, like I said, his best years are probably in the 90s. Not to say that he dwindled that much, but it's up for debate on this one for me. If Darren Fay gets in, I'm not going to be too displeased, to be honest. But
who were the toughest fullbacks, I suppose, Joe, you've marked over the years? You obviously mentioned Darren Fay there, but who else would you come up against, I suppose, especially in Leinster?
Yeah, like I would have marked Ross McConnell a few times, and probably because his strength as well. Like, I would have used my strength a bit, and he probably would have cancelled me out a wee bit. I'd probably come up against him a good few times. Obviously, Mick Foley, same type of player as Ross McConnell. Strong, fast. So who else would there have been? There would have been... Oh, let me see. They would have been the two lads really that I would have marked from sort of Leinster semi-final to Leinster finals. And I was trying to think outside of that. Like, Kevin Riley would have played fullback for us and would have been on the Irish team. You know, he probably was plagued by injury quite a lot. And he was a very, like, he was probably one of the best fullbacks in the country at the time when he was injury free and that. But I just think he'd missed too many years in and out, and comparing him with Fazer. I see Fazer as the best fullback anyway. So, and that's why I had Fazer in front of him as well.
Yeah, well, we'll come back to that debate. And I suppose the other thing I was looking at is no Kieran Kilkenny in either of your teams. I mean, when you think about it, the lad has won it all. He's very consistent for Dublin, always gets in the score sheet with a few scores. Ross, I'll come to you first. Do you think Kieran Kilkenny, maybe with Dublin especially, his role kind of within the squad, especially under Jim Gavin, might have affected his performance? Maybe he didn't express himself the way he could have, maybe in a different county, I suppose.
Yeah, look, it's a tough one. Like you said, he has it all. As Joe pointed out, he's super fit, super strong, plays off both feet. He's incredibly accurate, both hand pass, foot pass as well. But I get sometimes frustrated by him because I think he has the ability to be even better than he is, to be honest. Whether that's the role that's slowing him down, or, like, prime example, I didn't think he was great in the first Kerry final last year. And then the replay, he was unbelievable. I'm pretty sure he got man of the match. And he said himself that in that space of time that himself and Jim and a couple of others sat down and they just said, go for goal. Stick the head down and be more direct, I think was the actual phrase he used. And when he is more direct, he's incredibly effective because he's, like I said, strong and fit. And but I just feel whether it's the role or whether it's instruction-wise, sometimes the ball might get to him and he plays a sort of quarterback role and he sort of some slows the play down. But I just see that sometimes when he does turn it on, I'm like, why don't you do that all the time? Do that all the time. Be amazing. His fitness is like I watched him in a league game started this year and it looked like he was blowing hard. And I was sitting in the stand, I said, geez, Kenny's blowing hard. It's most unlike him. Then he pops up with like two or three scores when he looks like he's dead in his feet. He just has an incredible engine. But I just look, it's an opinion thing. I've got friends of mine who he'd be the first name of the team sheet. They absolutely love him. But that's my take on it. He's not getting on my bench.
Joe, you were saying more, you know, the fitness. He's a very fit kind of footballer, and you think maybe there's better players that have more natural ability than him. That'd be something you'd go along with.
Yeah, it's more of a to the eye and how you see a footballer, and that's the way I would view it. Like you can't take away what he does for Dublin and his impact. Like he's one of the top three players as an impact on the team and what he does. But as a natural footballer, I don't think he's ahead of Johnny Doyle or Paul Flynn or Trevor Giles. No, and he like the reason he gets so much ball is because he's incredibly fit. He's obviously a very clever footballer as well, and he reads the game very well. He picks up positions, but as Ross was saying, he is quite frustrating to watch as well, over and back, and that's probably obviously the way Dublin would have played in certain years. Possession, slow it up, keep it wide, move it, wait for the runner off the shoulder, and he would have been orchestrating a lot of that. But yeah, like he'd be over and back, he'd take seven hand passes across the pitch, you know, and I probably would see him, could he give it outside of the right boot cross field pass? I don't think so. Could probably get it maybe 1 out of 10, but most of the players I would see on my team would do that 9 times out of 10. You know, it's just something that I would see. Like I'm not saying he's a bad footballer. What I'm saying, he's probably not as natural a footballer as the lads I would have picked. And he's going to go on and have one of the most decorative careers in the GAA. But that's not saying he's the best footballer on the team either.
Imagine like decorating medals in All Ireland. A few people were kind of mentioning and pointing them out for each player. I mean, how important when you're picking this team, you know, you're naming players there. I have a few even like Darren Fay, obviously, Leighton Glynn, Brendan Murphy, Ross Munley. I mean, these lads mightn't have as many medals as some of these Dublin lads, Ross. Do you think, how do you base this team? Is how many All Irelands you have more important than like natural ability?
No. If I'd picked it on that, the likes of Matty Ford and Johnny Doyle wouldn't have got in. So yeah. I picked it on football and ability. And similar That's to Joe, true. I picked him. guilty. But I picked it on, I tried to pick a balanced team, like pick them all in their positions and sort of have individual, like Matty Ford versus Desi Dolan versus Paul Mannion versus like that sort of scenario in my head, like who if I was a manager, who would I want as my corner forward? I played it as a 15, you know, if they were lining out, no defensive strategies or no sweepers, and who would I like to go with? And yeah, as footballers, I went with more natural footballers as opposed to who implements the system better or who has the most possessions or but no, I wouldn't have solely based it on All Ireland, to be honest. I think, particularly for a Leinster 15, I'm sure if you're doing that, well, I know I nearly did, but you could only pick Dubs if that was the case. So clearly, I haven't picked on that.
Yeah. And Joe, you seem to be a bit more balanced than Ross, maybe with the lack of medals. Was that what you were going for?
Yeah, but look, at the end of the day, like some of the best footballers in the country have never won All Ireland. You know, even looks at, Kieran McDonald, these lads, like natural ability and skill level, and that's what I would look at. And it is hard to take away from lads who have won 7 All Irelands. But when you look at that that Dublin team as a team, they're incredible. Like, I know he's saying about Paul Mannion and he's 3 all stars in a row. But I'm trying to think back of how good he was in the final. He probably kicked 3 or 4 points in them games. But it's because as well Dublin get to an All Ireland final and win an All Ireland as well that helps, because you're probably, if you're 50-50 with another player, you're going to get an All Star if you win the All Ireland. And that's a fine line between sort of success and players winning certain stuff. But like, if you pick this in 10 years' time, it will be 15 dubs probably. You know, if you back, because you, when you look at it, you might have 2 players in there. Like, Ross has been very nice to hand out 2 players to other. Oh, that might happen the next time, but you've got to look at sort of the natural ability, what they've done, especially for teams with counties that weren't successful or even near that top level, and what they've done to bring their team along to get them to maybe a higher level and stuff like that. So it's lucky, and it's a matter of opinion for players as well. Some lads would have a player that they would always look at and will watch every game, no matter how bad he plays, look what he's done. You know, same with, like, 3 of us would have 3 different opinions on a certain player if you have an attachment towards them, or you know, that you would watch them more so, and you'd appreciate their game more so. It's a big discussion, and it's great. I love discussing it and talking about different types of players and who was the best and who was this, and it just creates great debate, and it just shows how little Dublin people know about football, you know.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. we'll get cracking on the team, but I want to ask one question before we get on. So we're going to take Stephen Cluxton out of this. Other goalkeepers over the last few years who've stood out. Joe, you probably caught because there's a good few of them. I had down Gary Connaughton of Westmeath and Fergal Byron Leash as well. I thought was a very good keeper in 2003 when they won the Leinster. Take Cluxton out of the equation, Joe. Who are you thinking of?
Yeah, Gary was very good. Shot stop, and he had a very good kick out as well. When you look as well, Brenny Murphy we had in goals for us. Like, he played with Wimbledon. He came to us sort of, I think, 07, 08 maybe. Shot stopping, incredible. He had that short pop kick out. It wasn't a long kick out, but he was very accurate from the kick out. And if we had him a bit longer, he was in and out, and he was probably getting a wee bit older. He would have been very successful and probably would have helped us a lot even more. And who else were we looking at? Yeah, as you were saying, Gary Fergal, yeah, would have been that old school type of a goalkeeper before the shot. It was all long kick outs, but they were successful when they won the Leinster then as well. I'm trying to think. Actually, Luke, if I should know him well, he was in goal loud that time. He played with Dundalk or Drogheda. What's his name?
Cormac Sullivan for me, that she got an alt there in 0-1 in goal.
Was he?
Yeah.
And Sully now, like, he did 2 All Irelands from 96-99. No, he was a sub at 96. He started in goal in 99. And so Sully would have been very good. Like, he was. They played outfield then for the club as well. He was an outfield player in goals to a point as well.
Okay, so I presume Stephen Cluxton's getting number one.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll number get an two, argument.
So cornerback, who we go after? We Johnny Cooper on your team, Joe, and you've Mick Fitzsimons, Ross, is that right?
Well, I've Johnny Cooper as well, so yeah. Happy to say which
are flanking the two of them.
Who are they flanking?
Are they going, yeah, so who's gonna be in the middle there?
Look, it was one of the positions, and we've already spoken about it, that there has been probably no dominant standout fullback for an extended period of time. So recently, I might give up one of my spots to a Mead man.
And I what I could do then, right, because it's back and we're balanced between the 90s and 2000, we take Fazer out and leave Kyogi in cornerback and put Johnny Cooper or Mick Fitz full back, just because of the errors and it overlapping and it was a bit tighter. Then yeah, I give you that. That's the only thing. The only one.
That's fair enough. Darren Fay, you talked him up right, and then you dump him.
I know. It's just the years. Like he's up there with the best.
Well, look, that's huge praise for Keoghan if he's getting in ahead of Fay. You know what I mean? Regardless of the years, that's, you know, high praise right there. So look, I'm happy to go with that. Keoghan, excellent cornerback, or excellent marker. I know it's more dynamic the way the backs play these days, but yeah, happy to go with that full back line, to be honest. Nick Fitz, Johnny Cooper, and Keoghan.
Excellent stuff. Okay, and we go on to the half back line. We have Jack McCaffrey, James McCarthy, and Emmett Bolton for yours, Joe. Who's a cert for you there? Emmett Bolton, I presume.
Well, it's the two boys, McCarthy and Jack McCaffrey, like their certs. Like it's, yeah. I'm just reluctant with Keane. I know what he's done and Evan. I don't know. Look, I know Emmett Bolton probably hasn't had the success. Like I'll leave it up to you, Mick, to get this Emmett Bolton into the team.
Do not.
You'd be here for 20 minutes listening to nonsense out of me. Right, Ross, so you have McCaffrey, McCarthy and O'Sullivan. You're going to go with O'Sullivan?
Yeah, I am. I'd actually be pretty somewhat steadfast about that because I just think, like, he's played midfield, he's played cornerback. He just does the role so well. I'm gonna keep that one, hopefully. Fingers crossed.
So midfield, Brian Fenton, I mean, no one's gonna argue with that one. No. And I'd go with Paddy Keenan as well, with Joe there. I was on between Michael Dara and Paddy Keenan, and I think Paddy Keenan was an all rounder, and I think if he was any other team in Leinster or even in Ireland, he would have been, his career would have been more well-known maybe to a certain extent. I think maybe obviously being with Loud, he wasn't as well-renowned. Joe, Paddy Keenan?
Yeah, don't worry, boys. Our back is up when I'm chatting to Michael Aaron McCauley that he's had his back, but no, he's not getting it.
poor Kieran Whelan. He made all our benches but still doesn't even get a shout for starting.
I think Dublin have enough lads, maybe.
It was more of a sympathy vote that I put him in on the bench. All Ireland.
What about Dermot Early then as well? I mean, how good was Dermot Early, Joe? You must have caught up against him a good few times as well.
I actually think he was a better footballer than Kieran Whelan. It was a fine line, but as a natural footballer, I think Early had more in his locker as an all rounder. He was just
a few injuries, wasn't
it? He was pretty there, like at midfield, like, and he was unfortunate when he done the knee because he was still in great shape and he would have had a couple more years left in him. And he kept his body in great shape. He was left foot, right foot, up and down the pitch, and he was usually playing midfield on his own. I know Johnny had to come in a couple of times and play midfield, but it was literally him against two lads at midfield most of the time.
Yeah, poor Darryl Flynn. he did his knee against yourselves, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So Fenton and Keenan, or what, Ross? Come on.
Poor Mick. We'll be able to show our face down the club now if we don't pick Mick McCauley. That's the yeah, it's like 2013 Football of the Year. Mick probably goes on the bench then. Keenan starts. Okay, look, I'm stepping out of this one. You two battle it between yourselves. I'm not having nothing to do with this one.
Me and Joe are battling here. Like we're agreeing.
Battle. There's no battle.
Go on.
Okay, so we're going with Brian Fenton and Keenan in midfield. Okay, half forward line, Joe. You have Paul Flynn, Trevor Giles, Johnny Doyle. Trevor Giles, unbelievable footballer. Do you think maybe because it was the latter stages of his career in the early 2000s, would you still have him in?
Yeah, Dan. The only reason is because he was the best footballer coming into the 2000s. He was voted as the best footballer. And that's why I'm sticking with him. I just think, like, what he done was just incredible, unmarkable. Very few people could ever mark him. I don't think anyone could. And just always had time and space. Left foot, right foot, free taking was incredible. And I gave Fazer up. I'm not giving Giles up.
Okay, Ross, we having Trevor Giles?
Mick, you're gonna have to make the casting vote here because I'm not having him. I spoke about him so well, as in, I think he was phenomenal, like huge influence in that team. I think he's a fabulous footballer, but I just think, we've similar forwards, myself and Joe, but we've different positions. So like I've Alan Brogan in the half forward line.
Johnny's in your corner, and Joe.
Yeah, and John Doyle's in my corner, and he's in Joe's half forward line. So personnel wise, there's not much difference, but if I was to drop Alan Brogan, which Joe has, he's my centre half forward. Who's in full forward? Bernard Brogan.
And who else?
Johnny Doyle and Matty Ford.
And who is the wing forward then?
Dermot Connolly.
Dermot Connolly.
Yeah. Well.
So to be honest, it probably sounds like we're just probably debating over Connolly versus Giles.
Pretty much, you could work around that the rest of the team then.
Okay, so we stick Johnny Bernard and Matty Ford as the full forward line, and then Alan Paul Flynn, I assume, is a cert.
Yeah.
And then so lads, up to you. It's between Trevor Giles and Dermot Connolly. I'll get a cup of tea and be back in five.
I'd have to stick with Connolly, and it is probably a bit biased. Well, there's no probably about it. It is biased. Look, I've seen him up close. I've seen him do his stuff for many, many years. He has all the All Irelands as well. Well, he's missing one because he was in the States, obviously, but he was on the 2011 team that made the breakthrough. He's on the panel for the guts of 10, 11 years now. I've just never seen anyone do what he does. As a link player, though, like for Giles, phenomenal. He was just like that absolute perfect 11. He was just that link man. He could hit balls, both feet, outside the boot, pick you out, put into your chest from 30, 40 metres, no problem. Well able to take his scores, took penalties. I just think, and look, Joe makes a point, he was the best footballer coming into 2000, and okay, fair enough, but I just think,
that's not Lens, that's in the country, you know that.
Mick, you're going to have to step in here, because I'm sticking with Dermo. I'm sticking with Dermo.
Joe,
I kind of have Dermot Connolly on the team either, because of just, I think, what his natural ability is, there's no question that. You look at the All-Ireland Finals, he's very rarely had a very good game in an All-Ireland Final. Like he's only got two All-Stars. He's never been nominated for Player of the Year. And he's missed a good few games because he's probably let the team down. So that's what I'm taking into the whole lot of it as well. As a footballer, yeah, absolutely. But what I'm saying is, he hasn't been extremely consistent every time he's been playing. He'd have a great game, he'd have a poor game, and I would sort of take that in consideration as well. I'm not knocking his ability, but I just think overall, and I know where you come with Trevor, the crossover, but he still played 2005 as well. So,
who at their prime, Mead and Dublin, who was more important either? You would think Giles was essential to Mead at their best. Would you, in comparison to Connolly, maybe with Dublin?
Oh, without a doubt, he was him and Graham were the two best footballers in the country probably at the time.
Yeah, and I agree with, but I think the time was in the '90s. Like that's my only thing.
It was 99. Yeah, last year.
And we're picking from 2000 to 2020. So that's a 20-year. If we went back 5 more years, if we went back less than 95 or 96, he's in my team 100%. Ahead of Connolly, but because of Connolly has played in, what was he? I think we're pretty sure he made his debut in 08. So 12 years in the period that we're picking from, whereas Giles played 5, so the longevity thing in Leinster, I think that goes in Connolly's favour. lads, what a debate to have, as in, like, imagine if you're a manager, Giles or Connolly, like, what, two of the best footballers, you know. So I'm sticking to my guns, Mick, and Joe's sticking to his, so you're going to have to do something about this.
I can't back down here, sorry.
Might spit Emma Bolton into the centre forward line, mate. What's the I'll come under the radar here. Use the bait away and I'll spit Emma Bolton down.
You're gonna have to get off the fence here, Mick, and start making some decisions.
For balance alone, and maybe I think I'm gonna stick Trevor Giles, and also
yes. And that's, I'm just closing the book on that then, that's it, done.
Oh my god, I can't believe it.
We'll give him a Subs jersey.
Yeah, okay. Connolly will probably go off to Boston again anyway. You won't.
Oh, lads.
So start 15 and then we'll go on to our subs. We've Cluxton, Nick Fitzsimons, Johnny Cooper, Donald Keown, Jack McCaffrey, Keane O'Sullivan, James McCarthy, Brian Fenton, Paddy Keenan, Paul Flynn, Trevor Giles, and Alan Brogan, and Johnny Doyle, Bernard Brogan, Matty Ford. Subs. We have, I presume Connolly has to get a Subs jersey.
I will give him
one. He bloody better after that.
We'll give him 20.
Joe, any certs for Subs that you think should be in there?
I would have probably Dermot Early and Whelan. Two midfielders, but I just think they're open to debate as well, but I think them two. McNamee for Offaly.
Yeah, it's class.
He dragged Offaly through as well for 20 years now. He's still playing.
Yeah.
Crowd, like, it's his skill level is just on it. Like, and he made the Aussie Rules team. And if you're making the Aussie Rules team and you're getting nominated for All Stars when you're playing with a lesser team like Offaly, it's an achievement as well. It's like winning All Ireland because of the difference in the class from where you're competing against. So it's it's hard. And as you said, I forgot to mention, I'd mentioned Leighton Glynn earlier. I was nearly having him in as 11 or 12 or 10, like, because. He probably got robbed for an All-Star in 2010. Kennedy come back and played one full game and got an All-Star. And I think it was a bit harsh now for him not to get it. I probably think he deserved more than Kennedy. Just what he done for Wicklow. And Wicklow ended up doing hard well, just laying Glynn. I know they had a couple of other lads like James Stafford and a few players like that were quite strong. But, there's so many good players there that you could have the easy name, another 15. Like,
oh yeah, Paul Barden is another one as well for long.
Oh yeah,
super footballer.
Yeah.
So bench wise, if I don't have Mick McCauley on the bench after having him in my team, I will be shot. So for me, Mick is going on the bench with Connolly. My subs, I split my bench, as I said, two backs, a midfielder, and two forwards. Joe Higgins and John Keane are the two lads I had on the bench for backs. But now, obviously, that being said, I didn't get Rory or Carroll. But like Joe Higgins, John Keane, both super defenders. A bit like Joe, I'm open to debate on this one.
John Keane, I was actually thinking, I could see his face. His first name, John, I don't know why, because I played with him in Leinster and I just couldn't remember it. And he was unbelievable.
We'll give John Keane a bench place, definitely.
He's actually in my team. I'll have Keane on the bench. We've made three midfielders there between Dermot Early, Kieran Whelan, and who was the other one we just said? Michael Tara. I actually forgot that name. What's going on? right, we'll give two midfielders slots on the bench. Joe, you made a case for Dermot earlier. Kieran Whelan as well, and Michael Dara. I think you have to give Mick a place on the bench. Player of the Year 2013. It's won, like, what, five, six in Ireland?
We'll take Whelan out, so then we'll put Early and Michael Dara in.
Ross, do you want to make a case for Kieran Whelan here over Dermot Early?
I don't think I'm going to win is the problem. Now, look, we can't have a host of midfielders, and I think the fact you got all-stars aside, I think Mick just gets in of Wheelo on the Football of the Year, I think, to be honest. But if I had it, like, for a toss of a coin, I'd put Early in fine, but I kind of... I'd put Mick on the bench over Wheelo, to be honest.
Okay, and then that leaves two up. I've mentioned Desi Dolan, we've mentioned a little bit. Yeah, I think he needs to be on the bench. I mean, star 2004, one of Westmead's greatest players. Do you agree with that, Joe?
Yeah, I had mentioned, I just didn't put him down. I was thinking of him. And they probably should have beaten us in another Lens of final as well, when he missed that free.
Yeah.
And won it then. And what was that, 2001? Was it? What he done for Westmead, like he was incredibly good. His scoring ratio was very high class, and he wasn't that strong, he wasn't that big, but he was so good at winning his own ball. And as Rossi was saying, like, played up to last year, and he's probably early 40s, is he?
Last game against Ballyvone, actually, I think it was in the club. And McNamee, we were talking about him there.
I'd probably give it to Desi over McNamee, just, but only just. McNamee's a super footballer. You're splitting hairs with those two lads both.
It's actually very hard to pick this. So we're one space left there. Some of the names we're talking about, John Heslin came up there. I mean, is Darren Fay even going to get on the bench, Joe?
Who's that?
Darren Fay.
Yeah, I'm a forward, so like I'm just letting on now that Fazer has been put back into that. So I'm just letting that slide, and I'm a forward, so I want as many forwards. I don't care about defending. It scores more than the other team, and that's the way I'm thinking. So yeah, like, even Ross Mundy for a leash, and Mac to me, like, Leighton Clean, I'm thinking, how can we not put Leighton Clean in the best Lens team? Some of the dubs, like, you know, when you do look at it.
Leighton Clean, actually, in fairness, there's a mention as well.
So who have we got for the bench? We have, who do we say, John Keane as our back?
Michael Dower, Dermot Early, and Desi Dolan. We need one forward. You're talking maybe Ross Munley, Leighton Clean. I think Leighton Clean needs a mention there.
He's getting in ahead of Kieran Kilkenny, which is mad as well. Like, but
we've interviewed a good few players, Joe, and I think three or four of them have said Leighton Glynn is the toughest opponent they've come up against.
Oh, I'm not surprised. Like, you just couldn't catch him. Like, if Leighton Glynn, like, put it this way, if Leighton Glynn played for Dublin now, he would, like, he'd be a better footballer on the Dublin team than Kieran Kilkenny.
Okay, so Leighton
Glynn. Yeah, look, I'm happy to go with that, to be honest.
Okay, so our subs are John Keane, Michael Darren McCauley, Dermot Early, Desi Dolan, and Leighton Glynn. It's fairly tasty.
No, Dermot Connolly is on the bench.
Oh, forgot about him. Okay. Ross, I'm going to have to give you this.
We'll give him 21.
We have six subs.
Fuck's sake.
We have six subs with Dermot Connolly.
Dermot Connolly is... You're allowed six subs these days, so we'll put them in as 21 just for the panel.
All right. Ross, you happy with that now, no?
Go on. I'll live with it.
Right. So that's our 15 and our six subs now. That was a serious debate. Joe Sheridan, thanks for coming on and doing that. It was a really good crack.
No bother, lads. It's great to have a good chat, and it's always good chatting good football. And It's great when you look back and you see how bad Leinster football competitive has been in the last 10 years. But when you look at the top quality footballers that have played in the last 20 years, it's fairly frightening. It's great to see, and to look back at it, it's not a bad pick of players now, to be fair.
Oh, it's very tasty. Ross, thanks for doing this. You look a bit amused there.
We got enough dubs in. I'm happy enough.
You got a whole half back line there, and you literally have from 1 to 8 as
Right, we'll leave it there. Thanks, lads, and hope you enjoy it, lads. Thank you.
Thanks.
Well done.
Thanks for listening in, and don't forget that you can follow the Mick and Mac GAA Football Podcast on Instagram, Twitter, and we are on Spotify, as well as all other podcast platforms.